Welcome back into College Golf Talk. Burko and Brentley with you. I'm back from American Dunes, Grand Haven, Michigan for the Folds of Honor Collegiate. My first trip there, Brentley, pretty impressive, powerful perspective. A lot of words you can take, at least I did, and I'm sure all the men and women there these past few days. What Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, Jack Nicklaus, the collaboration. You leave there, at least I did, with a better sense of the things that matter.
I have one beef, though, Burko. Can you guess what it is? That?
You weren't there.
That's one. Two, it's that you weren't the one jumping out of the airplane and parachuting in onto the 10th fairway. You let Bubby from Good Good do that. That was a perfect opportunity. Either you or Tripp or someone, you know, to be doing live television as you're flying toward the ground. That would be
you would have had to hit the mute button, the drop button, the delay button there. I'm not a big fan of heights, so I'm not sure I would have been the man for the job, but what a 12. Great week. Yeah, to 12, exactly. A new wrinkle this year, adding the women and the men. You had 30 teams combined, and then you take a look at the end result. Alabama, what a statement made, a clean sweep for the Crimson Tide. They pick up the win as a squad and individually. How about Dominic Clemens getting the medalist honors? Here's a guy that starts at Hutchinson Community College in Kansas for a year, goes to Stetson for a year.
The Hatters.
Yeah, goes to Alabama. He's quickly becoming one of my favorite golfers because he has the club and the ball's in the air 12 seconds later. It didn't even matter on 18 where he's got to get down and two from hole high 40 feet just off the green. It's 8 seconds. He takes a look and he goes, Tripp said it, I said it. You can play quality, successful golf and do it quickly. So really an impressive start for Jay Sewell, who lost a lot from that lineup over the past 12 months. And then on the women's side, Arizona, Giovanna Maimon, the first year head coach, as I saw her after, said, you're undefeated. What could go wrong from here? They played extremely well, got a little pressure down the stretch from those chasing. But maybe the biggest story of them all, Mirabelle Tang, her third collegiate win. And how does she get it done? Birdies at 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And I thought she was going to make that 10-footer at the last to go six in a row coming in. A young lady who's been through a lot. Her journey has had some ups and downs. But to see her close in such style, we know how good Lottie Wode is. You can now start making an argument, even before the win, as good as any 1-2 punch in the country.
Oh, without a doubt, Burko. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, South Carolina probably could make an argument there, but I mean, it takes some serious talent to be able to close like that. And I was with you when that last one didn't drop. I think I almost fell out of my couch because I mean, she had been on such a tear. And yeah, I mean, it's a great plan by her. She's one of my favorite players. I mean, she's got a lot of power. You know, despite being, I don't even think she's 5 feet tall. She's barely 5 feet tall, but a lot of power. Just a fun-loving, you know, player. So definitely rising up the ranks. If you got Dom Clemen, who's the Rocket, you know, because he plays so fast, he's our new Rocket, then I'll take Mirabelle Tang on my team with the first pick in the fantasy draft.
No doubt about it. With that, we welcome in Amy Bond, the women's head coach at Florida State, who has to be proud back in Tallahassee. Before we get to the golf, Amy, thanks as always. Appreciate you taking some time to join us today. Your perspective, your understanding, you and I were standing next to each other Tuesday when Taps played. How would you share your thoughts on what the Folds of Honor Collegiate truly means to you, your team, and everyone that was in the field this week?
Yeah, thanks, Burko. It's emotional. It's an emotional week. It's way bigger than just a golf tournament. You know, you think about as you're standing there listening to Taps, so many people have made this the ultimate sacrifice, both first responders and in the military, to let us do what we do. For me to be a college golf coach, for our players to be playing at these great universities. And every single time Taps played, I cried. And it's one of those things that until you actually sit there and you hear it, you don't quite realize the impact that it has. And you're walking through just the wall, through the walls there where you're reading about, you know, 24, 26, 34 year olds whose, you know, young children at the time are now reaping the rewards of what the Folds of Honor is all about, which is putting them through school. So I told the players at the beginning of the week, this is way bigger than a regular golf tournament. It's not about the golf this week. It's about the people. And I don't think there was one play on our team that didn't get emotional at some point this past week.
I'm right there with you. And Brentley, I can validate what Amy said. We stood next to each other on the 10-tee when it played. I get goosebumps thinking about it now with Colonel Dan Rooney, everyone at Folds of Honor. And then especially finishing up on 9/11, a day that changed our world forever, a true sense of what matters moving forward. And that is front and center when you go to American Dunes. As we transition to the golf, you just heard us talking about Mirabelle Tang. How would you describe the development of this young lady since she got to Tallahassee?
You know, I think the biggest thing that most people don't realize is the Folds of Honor was her very first fall tournament ever, because she missed it as a freshman and she missed it last year. So for her to come out and play like she did, I'm extremely proud of her. You know, she's dealt with a lot with the passing of her father, and actually the anniversary, the 2-year anniversary is on Sunday. So, you know, me in my early or mid 40s, I'm like, I still have my dad. So I can't imagine what she's gone through and dealt with. But as far as her maturity goes, she's so fun to be around. She's probably one of the, we've had some great ball strikers, but she's probably the best ball striker we have ever had. And she can hit it on a rope. But the big part of her game that's gotten a lot better is her short game. Her short game. And if she can get that putter rolling, as you guys saw on Wednesday, she can make a lot of putts real quick. So, you know, for her, both maturing as an individual, because she's just 18 years old. She'll be 19 in a week or so. But she's maturing as a person and also as a player. So I couldn't be any more thrilled for Mirabelle and what she did this past week.
You mentioned the tragedy. She also had a little bit of trouble getting eligible to play when she transferred from Augusta to Florida State. Can you talk about kind of her journey to Tallahassee, and then also a little bit of an eventful summer this past summer as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were lucky. We were looking for a player, and Mirabelle went into the transfer portal, and I was excited about it. We needed a player at that point, and luckily Mirabelle chose us. And she had to sit out last fall just because she went into the portal a day late. But December 21st, she got cleared, and we got her in the lineup in the spring. And, you know, for her to have to sit out an entire fall when you're on campus and you're ready to go, it's hard, you know. So the struggle was real for her. She's just in school. She's trying to get her schoolwork done. She's a semester behind already. So she took 18 hours last fall to kind of start getting caught up. And hats off to her. She's a great student. So the student athlete part works really well. Made a 3.9. And again, when you take someone's sport away, it's really hard to stay motivated. But she was able to stay motivated. She didn't know what the future holds. She could have had to sit out the whole year, but she did what she needed to do. She took care of her business and had a really great spring.
And probably one of the worst phone calls you had to take as a coach this summer, when she calls you and tells you that she took a little bit of a tumble, but tough girl.
Yeah, tough girl. She's dealt with a lot, you know, dealt with some injuries here and there, but boy, it was exciting to see her, and I'd only had her for 2 weeks. We only been in school for 2 weeks, so to see what she's come back with, really it shows what kind of person Mirabelle is. And she was ready to go when the bell rung. She was ready to go.
Now I'll let Berko talk about the team and maybe the expectations kind of going forward this season. But I want to touch on something that is new to the women's game this year in college golf, and that's the 500 rule. And I think you're the perfect coach to kind of tell us how maybe we should feel about it, because you coached at a mid-major, had a lot of success. Now you're coaching at one of the top programs in the country. What are your thoughts on the 500 rule? Is it necessary? And are we maybe being a little bit too elitist, thinking that it's not needed in this Division I women's golf?
You know, I think there's certainly two sides to the story, for sure. You want to balance out your fields a little bit. You want to give everybody an opportunity. And I know when I was at Princeton, you know, one of the things that I really tried to do was develop relationships with other coaches and say, hey, can you let me in your tournament? And due to my relationships with them, I got into tournaments. But I can also see some coaches that are a little more shy, maybe not have those opportunities. So I think it's unique. I think there's two perspectives of people are panicking about it while others are not worried about it. So it's something that's certainly on our radar. And with us being a combined program at Florida State, I've learned a lot from Trey Jones trying to figure out what to do with the schedule. But ultimately, as a coach, we want to play the best schedule we possibly can. And we owe it to our players, especially our players that want to play at the next level, to put them against high quality competition week in and week out on great golf courses. So, you know, for me, we did a little bit of a mix. You know, you'd hate to say you were that one coach that didn't plan for it and then all of a sudden have a player turn pro, because that's another issue to look at, because the women's qualifying school is in the middle of our season. So I think as a coach, you got to play it smart a little bit. But at the same time, I think you owe it to your players to play the best schedule, to compete with the best, and ultimately try to win a national championship. But, you know, if I put myself in my Princeton shoes, you know, I think it's a really good thing. And it gives everybody an opportunity to see the best teams in the country, the best players in the country, so that your player that's on your team at a mid-major can see that.
As the new college season's underway, you guys can know you're solid at the top. You and I discussed you've got four new freshmen trying to figure things out. Can people get healthy? What was your team performance at American Dunes? What does that maybe let you know, learn about being perhaps closer to where you want to be in September, or still some question marks from your perspective?
You know, I think I was extremely proud of the way they played. You know, obviously Mirabel and Lottie had a really good week. I spent most of the 54 holes with one of our freshmen, Sophia Fulbrook, who played exceptionally well. So I was very, very excited about her. You know, I think there's some question marks at our 4 and 5 right now, but we've got, you know, with those three players playing well, I've got 7 more that have the opportunity to step up. And I think the fall is a time where you play with your lineup a little bit. You know, I've got 2 more freshmen here at home that haven't had the opportunity to compete yet, along with 4 other players that have been here in years past. So I think the key is to play with it this fall, get some players some opportunity, because you don't have to be good in September. You need to be good in April and May. And I think that's always been our key, is to keep getting better. You know, as I heard y'all mention earlier, you know, with football and things like that, you know, one thing Coach Norvell always says is kind of get 1% better each day. And if we can do that, good things are going to happen. So I'm excited where we are right now, but I also know that there's a lot of work if we're going to be standing, you know, at La Costa in May and holding that trophy. There's a lot of work between now and then, and a lot of great teams we got to work our way through between now and then.
Speaking of trophies, before we let you go, if people weren't tuned in on Wednesday when Mirabel Ting won, arguably the coolest, unique trophy in all of college golf. I know you've got it right there. So share with all our viewers, listeners, exactly the trophy that Mirabel Ting won.
Look at that.
How
you know, it's
that?
A fighter helmet. I don't even know if it'll fit on Mirabel's head, but for me, it's going in my office. She's actually going to let me keep it in my office. And that way she'll remember it every day and be able to look at it. But I'll tell you right now, if I wasn't a golf coach and had to swing a golf club every once in a while, this might be a permanent fixture on my head because I just think it's so cool. And the opportunity to share in something, again, that's bigger than us is pretty unique. But I've gotten guitars as trophies and things like that. But for her to have a fighter helmet with really good sunglasses.
Well, you know what this means, right, Amy?
What's that?
You have to get a motorcycle and drive it to the course every day.
Oh, heck no. I may act all big and bad, but I am scared to death to get on a motorcycle. So I'll stick to land and see what happens. And we'll go from there. But I think, you know, the biggest thing on here is the cross and then the folds of honor. I just think it's so unique and am thankful to Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney and the Folds of Honor for giving us the opportunity to be a part of such a special tournament.
Hopefully it is the first of many trophies headed back to Tallahassee in this new season. Amy, always good to catch up. Congrats to you and Mirabelle. You guys are off and running and we will see you down the road soon.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you guys having me on. It's truly an honor. So thank you.
Always a pleasure. Amy Bond, the women's golf coach at Florida State. That was from Gen X, as Colonel Dan Rooney told me. They make those pilot fighter helmets, fighter pilot helmets, shall I say, and they created two for the champions. I mean, we had Lottie Woad running around the 18th green, and they were telling me those things for the men and women in the air, they're so tight, they normally have to sort of take the ear part off, get it, and then reattach it on. I got a chance to get my hands on it, and you sit there, and I think Amy, again, our thanks to her for joining us. It epitomizes what those 3 days were all about. I encourage you to get up there next go around, Brentley. It really is awe-inspiring, all the little details, Old Glory out there in the fairway at 9.
What was the quarter thing that throwing the nickels or the
nickel in the grass? You have the white cross behind 17 green, something they do in the military, and I hope I phrase it right, if memory serves, when you go to the graves of the fallen, you have a thought, you say a prayer, you throw a nickel. So when you go there on the first tee, the starter gives you a nickel. Once you make your way off 17 green, you're encouraged to maybe honor someone you know that has given so much, or have a thought, have a quiet moment, and then you pitch that nickel to that white cross before you go to 18. It's powerful. Yeah. It really is. So again, our thanks to Amy Bond for joining us. A lot of other things going on this past week in the world of golf. The Annika, one of the other big events kicking off the fall season. South Carolina, we talk about a clean sweep for Alabama and the men. South Carolina wins. They win big. Hannah Darling wins. And you start saying, okay, the Gamecocks aren't going anywhere. And this is the enigma for me that is Hannah Darling. Because when you win by 27 shots as a team, you go 1-2 on the leaderboard, and Hannah Darling and Luis Rydquist, I can't figure them out, but we know their best is as good as anyone in the country.
Yeah, this is the type of golf course I think that really suits their game, and it's fairly generous off the tee, and then starts to get tougher as you get closer to the hole. So this is, it's no surprise that South Carolina and this kind of current nucleus in particular have done well at this tournament. They've won 3 of the last 4 years, but kind of coincidentally, and this is the bad kind of history, we don't like to talk about it too much, but it is worth saying the 1 year that they tied for 4th is the year that they did the best at the end of the season. So maybe a little bit of not so good trend developing there, but I want to touch on Hannah real quick. And this is a player that was so good her first 2 years, was inconsistent to say the least last year. And when we were both at Darius Rucker and you see, you know, her get the co-victory there being one of the 4 medalists, and then she rolls off 3 more top 10s, you think that she's starting to get it back, but had a really terrible postseason. Shot at 84 in the first round of the NCAA championship, was subbed out, didn't play again. And if you look at her summer results, she didn't play a single stroke play event. It was all match play, but I think that was good for her. Not having to keep track of a score, not having to carry a scorecard, being able to play a format that she thrives in. You were there at the Curtis Cup. She looked like the Hannah Darling of old there. And if she can just block out some noise and not worry about what's expected of her, she can do things like she did these past few days. And so I was concerned about Hannah Darling coming into this year. I ranked her a little bit lower because of it in terms of preseason All-American. But she's got first-team talent, and she showed why that's still possible.
Yeah, you take a look at the rest of that field: Oregon, Wake Forest, Arizona State, Duke, rounding out the top five. But the 27-shot win, from my perspective, as you said, the past trends maybe didn't equate to success in May. But we've learned one thing. If anything, Kaylin Anderson, they're going to be there. They're going to be competitive. The question is just, where is the payoff in the postseason? The men kicking things off at Inverness. Virginia rallying, getting some help on that final day. They win by 4 over Auburn, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Texas Tech, rounding out the top five. Jackson Koivun picking up right where he left off, although it got intriguing coming down the stretch with another win. But your thoughts, you never want to get reactionary or caught up in the initial moment, but what are your takeaways from what we saw in Ohio just a few days ago?
Well, I think first off, can we have more courses like Inverness on the college golf rotation? I mean, truly one of the best classic golf courses. I don't know if have you been there?
I've been there. We did a campus tour way back when, if you're old enough, the old College Central presented by Ping. And
you toured Toledo?
We would go to an area and knock out 4 or 5 schools in a week. And my only shot, God's honest truth, because you always end up at the golf course. So we went to the bunker, because you really have to go back into the archives where Bob Tway holed out 86 PGA against Greg Norman. I holed out from the bunker. We went to 18. We're having our tour guides from the men's and women's teams do it. And then I said, I can't come here and not do it. It's somewhere on a tape, old thing. Might have been my second shot, but I made it. Dropped the club, walked off, said I'm done. So that's the only shot
of
it.
This?
Somewhere. Maybe in cutting room floor. But yes, Inverness, history, tradition, old school. I know it's sort of been restored and renovated. I'm with you. It is a classic that stands the test of time. But a really nice win for Virginia, a good start for Auburn, and no real surprise to see a lot of heavy hitters right there in the top five.
Yeah, it kind of affirms what I thought about Virginia, and I'm not going to name names, but there were a couple people when I shared my initial preseason list. I had Virginia at 5, which is where they stayed, and someone was like, that's way too high for the Cavaliers, and I'm like, just watch. And there's not a ton of depth, although I think they can go 6 deep, but this 5, they finally have a lot of experience, and it's good experience too. They've been to the quarterfinals each of the last 2 years. They've lost to the team that ended up winning it all in match play. So really you can, consider them a national runner up in a sense. And I think Ben James is going to go absolutely gangbusters this year. I mean, starts out with a T3, eases into it. He's going to have 3 or 4 wins this year. Just you wait and see. But on the flip side, and we can talk about this a little bit more at length as well, but Gordon Sargent shoots 8 over the first 2 rounds. Gets it back a little bit, 366 the final day to salvage, air quotes, a T33 finish. Not good. The panic meter continues to rise slowly for Gordon Sargent. I'm not willing to press it all the way. Some people are suggesting that perhaps we change his name, demote him to Gordon Corporal or Gordon Private, but I'm not quite there yet. What is your level of concern, Berko, with Gordon Sargent, because the big numbers have not gone away?
It's there, and we discussed it, touched on it a little bit last week. I believe you said we're going to have the best year in college golf that we've seen from Gordon Sargent. Remember, he won the NCAA.
I did say that. Yeah.
And it's on my wall. It doesn't mean it can't still happen. He's got his 20 points. He could be on the PGA Tour right now. I think a lot of us, and we're straight shooters, we're fair, we're honest. You're not going back to school if you think you are fully ready to go to the PGA Tour. That's my perspective. I'll put Gordon right now, and it's high praise because we're talking about first team All-America selections. He's kind of like a Hannah Darling from South Carolina. You look at the big picture, oh, wow, six top tens, maybe a win or two. But there are moments where you scratch your head. When I looked at the scores of American Dunes, and there's I literally had to go all the way down to the bottom to find Gordon Sargent. Baseline statement, that can't happen. If Vanderbilt losing everything they lost is to have a legitimate chance for postseason success and to win, because you've got Jackson Van Parrish, you got Wells Williams, you've got some talent. You have to be a factor each and every week.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Again, we're one tournament in. You don't want to over inflame an indifferent result. My concern is we're seeing more of these than we are the other side, or at least an equal amount. And if you're Gordon Sargent, I'm sure he'd be the first to say, it's not where I need it to be. I'll leave it at that, because I don't know enough of any details, if there are any, but bottom line, those results don't work.
Yeah, there's some rumblings that he may have gone back to his old swing coach. That's an unsubstantiated rumor, but he's got to do something, and it stinks, right? Like, I think players should take this as a compliment when, you know, people like us do criticize, and the same goes for PGA Tour players. When you reach a certain level, no one's caring if the five guy on, you know, some mid-major school is not playing well and shooting 85. Like, no one cares. Gordon Sargent, unfortunately, his life now is under the biggest of microscopes, and that's just the way it is. But you got to take a little bit of pride in knowing that people think that highly of you, that they're concerned.
Quick results around the country. The LSU men go to Knoxville. They win in the first start for Jake Amos as head coach. Clean wins individually for the Tigers. So good start for the boys from Baton Rouge. Out at Sahali, Arizona State men win. Florida played poorly the first day, rallies for a runner-up finish.
Big rally.
Yeah. North Carolina tied for ninth. We had concerns about that. We'll see if that is just sort of a one-off. Women, Auburn edging LSU by one at the Cougar Classic. Then Emma Bunch, New Mexico State, wins the Golf Week Fall Challenge, her sixth win in her last seven starts dating to last season. As we wrap it up of sort of those results, what jumps out to you, good, bad, and different?
I think it's LSU. I didn't know what to expect from this team, but early it's clear that Jake's got his team to buy in. And I was able to chat with him on the phone a little bit earlier this week, and they had just gotten back, and he was actually taking a little bit of a nap because he had some sort of function. But he was just explaining how the very first team meeting went over 2 hours, and he was very blunt and went over all of his expectations. And this is a guy who is like extreme attention to detail, like almost kind of like me, almost a little bit of OCD. Like, he demands a lot out of his players. And it helps that he brings in two guys from East Tennessee State, and I'll get clean and Maddie Dodd Berry. They can kind of help set that standard. But I'll part with this. This team doesn't go anywhere this season without Jay Mendel, the sophomore, buying in. He's done that. Didn't have a super consistent event, but a lot of talent. Jake calls him the heart of the team. This is a program that could very well get back into the NCAA championship and could challenge to be in that final 15.
College golf season off and running. It is, I don't want to say their favorite time of the year, but one of them, because it is the road to La Costa. Even though La Costa's in May at Omni for the national championships, it starts here. always enjoyed. Our thanks to Amy Bond, the head coach for Florida State, and the women for joining us, giving us some perspective of what that Folds of Honor Collegiate meant to her team. Always good to catch up with you, my friend. Appreciate everyone tuning in, as they are loyal listeners to College Golf Talk each and every week. We will do it again next week. Until then, for Brentley, I'm Burko. So long for now.